You guys doing all right? How many of you guys have been enjoying the series that Travis has been doing the past month now, right? Yeah, over a month now on healing. Yeah, I highly encourage you guys, if you haven't heard it, it's on the podcast. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about, we're kind of building, you know what I mean? So we kind of, it's such an expansive topic, healing, you know what I mean? You could talk about it there's people who have ministries, that's all they talk about for years is healing, right? You know, I mean, you could talk about it forever. So we can't cover everything every Sunday, but we're like building kind of a foundation. First off, theologically, what does the Word of God say about healing? And also experientially and practically, we want to be able to walk in this thing. We just don't want to talk about it and have all the right answers. We actually want to see it happen. We want to experience what the Bible says is available and is actually our inheritance. It's been given to us. So I encourage you guys, listen to the podcast if you haven't heard it already, and We're gonna keep on talking about it until the Lord kind of tells us not to, right? Let's pray first. Lord, help me. Lord, I just pray you just help me express your heart this morning, and just share what's on your heart for us as a body. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come as the teacher. Teach us. Teach me, Lord. We need you. We want you. We thank you. You're here. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm a really practical teacher. Like, I like to talk about theory. I do to some degree, but I really like to talk about the how-to. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about how to pray for the sick, how to see the sick get healed. I am not by any means pro at this. I don't know if anybody is really. We're continually growing in this, just like any other spiritual gift. We're growing. You never arrived. You know, we will continue to grow and get better and better at this because we're getting, hopefully, we're progressively knowing Jesus more and more and more. And as we get to know him more, this stuff is going to be more real life. It's going to be like, you know, normal life. You know, as we get to know Jesus, because one thing if you've read your Bible, if you read the Gospels, healing. I mean, I don't know it's probably like one of the number one topics. I mean, it's all like Jesus went around and he was healing, and it's part of the nature of God. One of the names, you know, you guys know the names of God. There's in the Old Testament, and one of the names of God. You know, God reveals himself in different ways to us, and one of his names is like our God who heals us, right? That's like a picture, it's like a facet of the nature of God. All the names of God are kind of like facets of who he is. Anyway, today we're going to talk about healing, and we're going to talk about specifically partnering with God to see healing come and to express the heart of God through healing. You know, the world has such a distorted view of who God is. You know that? And the enemy from day one, that has been his number one, like he puts all of his energy into that, distorting who God really is. God is a good father. We know, we're still getting our mind renewed about who God really is. You know that? And because we've grown up in a fallen nature, and as we are being sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit, and our mind is being renewed over and over again, it's because we're beginning to, like what Travis was saying, we're beginning to actually see God for who he really is. And a repentance takes place, and our mind is renewed. We think a different way, and we act a different way. Does that make sense? So as we see him, repentance is an automatic happening. And you guys know what repentance is. We've talked about it many times before. It's changing the way you think. That's actually what the word repentance means. It's like, and as you change the way you think because you see who God, how God, what he really is like, then your behavior changes. Then you change the way you live your life practically, because there's a reality that you have a grid for who God is and what he is about and what our inheritance is. So the world has such a distorted view of God, who God really is. They believe that he gives people sickness. You know, Jesus came. One of the main reasons he came was to reveal who God really is. He was an exact representation of who the Father is. That was one of the main reasons people back then had such a distorted view of who God really was. The Pharisees had this crazy view, and they were the ones teaching this view about how God really was, you know? So Jesus came, and that's why there was so much friction when he came and he began to reveal, hey, this is what God is really like. That's why they hated him. He was revealing that God is a loving Father, and that facet today we're going to talk about is that he loves to heal. He loves to heal. That's who he is. That's how the Father is. The Father loves to bring life. He loves to heal. So in the same way, John 20:21 says, so Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So as Jesus has been sent to reveal the Father, guess what, guys? We are now being sent to reveal the Father, and we do it by the way we live. And one of the facets that we can reveal the heart of the Father is by seeing people get well, seeing them being healed. How many of you guys have experienced healing before? I have. It changed my life. Actually, I came to the Lord because of healing. And because it revealed the heart of the Father had towards me. It's powerful, you know? And you guys who have experienced this know this, and you guys who have prayed for people and seen them getting healed, see it. But like, people are overwhelmed by the love that the Father has for them, that he would think about them and that he would touch them. He would take time out of his busy schedule and just touch them and heal them. It's awesome. So we're about the same business that Jesus was doing. We are representatives of Jesus, and we are revealing the heart of God through the ministry, through the spiritual gifts, through healing specifically we're talking about today. And you know, Jesus, so if we're being sent like Jesus, then it makes sense to me that, like, okay, we better find out, how did Jesus do this thing, okay? Because Jesus is the perfect example. He actually set the example. He was operating the way he was to give us a clue of like how we actually do it, because it's possible for us to walk in these things, right? Let's find out. How did Jesus heal the sick? Everybody grab your Bibles. Let's turn to John 5, verses 19. We'll start there. And we talked about this actually the last time I spoke on evangelism. We based it out of the same scripture. And hopefully you guys can see a pattern here. So this is 5:19. It says, therefore, Jesus answered them, saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him even greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Okay, so how did Jesus heal the sick? Reading this scripture, how did Jesus heal the sick? He saw what the Father was doing. So the Father was actually, before Jesus hawked a loogie, spit on the ground, made some mud, I mean, come on now, I'm being real here, and put it on somebody's eyes, you know, the blind man's eyes. Remember that story? He saw the Father doing it. That might offend some people. What? God of the universe hawking a loogie on the ground, making, you know, no, this is what it says. He only did what he saw the Father doing. The Holy Spirit's going to show you some weird things if you walk with him for a while. He's going to tell you to do some weird things sometimes that will confound your carnal mind. He actually does it on purpose to confound your carnal mind. Anyways, so yeah, that's how Jesus did it. So if Jesus operated in healing by seeing what the Father did, and he did the same thing that he saw the Father doing, then we are to do the same thing, right? Doesn't that make sense? Okay, I mean, it's pretty simple. So he only did what he saw his Father doing. So why, here's a question to kind of like, I kind of like to break things down. I like to know the motives behind like why God does stuff, because I don't want to just know like, you know, his actions. I want to know his ways. I want to know why he does things. I really want to get to know him, you know? And so I asked these questions like, Lord, why did you do it this way? Why did you set it up that Jesus, the Son of God, fully God, walking around on earth, he emptied himself of his power, you know, Philippians 2, and you had him walking as a man, empowered by the Holy Spirit, completely dependent on you. Why did you do it this way? Anybody take a guess why he did that? What's that? Because we were going to do it that way. That's right. He did it for us. The Son of God could have came down on earth. He could have done all this stuff out of his own deity. He was fully God. He didn't need necessarily to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit, although they're all one. We won't get into the Trinity yet. But he could have totally done this totally different. It's like almost like he complicated it a little bit for being the Son of God. You know what I mean? But he was showing us how to actually operate and how to walk and what is possible and what is our inheritance. Because he was the second Adam, right? He came as the Son of Man. And he operated as a man empowered by the Holy Spirit, completely dependent on the Father. And we are called to do the same thing. So in the same way, he does this for one, even a deeper reason why he does this. Anybody take a guess? If you haven't got this by now, I feel like this is like the core of everything that God does. He did it because it builds relationship with him. I think God is completely, solely motivated about relationship. That's what he's about. Relationship is everything. And I'll prove it to you. So, and I'm just going to run through a bunch of scriptures real quick. He did this because he wants you to know him. He can touch and heal the sick all he wants, like apart from you, but he wants you to operate. He wants you to co-labor. He wants you, we have all used all these words. He wants you to partner with him to see the kingdom of God revealed on earth today because he wants you to know him. His desire to know, for you to know him was taken to the extreme. He wanted it so badly that he died on a cross. You know, that's the heart of the cross. He wanted you to be in intimate relationship with him. And he wants all to. So everything he does is motivated out of that same heart. He wants you to know him. He wants you to partner with him. He wants you to do this with him together, right? Remain in me. John 14, right? The vine. Apart from me, you can't do anything. You got to do it with me because I want you to know me and you were made to know me. So with God, all things are possible. You know, John 17, 3, this is eternal life. We think about eternal life. So, I'm living forever, right? What is eternal life? To know him, to know the Father and the one you sent, Jesus Christ, right? That is his heart. That is behind everything the Father does for you to be in intimate relationship with him. And here we go even further. And this is just to put a stake in it. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. He wants you to know him. That's encouraging to me. Hopefully that's encouraging to you guys too, because God's not like, okay, let's have the checklist. How many healings did you do today? One, that's it. Okay. You know, God's not like that at all, but I'll be honest, the spiritual gifts, the enemy can kind of pull you into this, that it's a works kind of thing, that like your worth is based on how many people get saved or how well you're doing in evangelizing to your coworkers or how many people you healed. You know what I mean? And it, you know, the enemy does that because he's trying to keep you from doing that thing because you'll get frustrated and you'll be like, I'm not good at this. I pray for people, no one's getting healed. And, you know, and you kind of, the enemy will come along and he'd be like, man, you really are not, I want to say other explicitives, but you know, he does. He comes and say, and really, God is motivated. He wants you to walk in this because, first off, he wants to see others experience and know him, and he wants you to experience him and know him. So it's fun. It's actually fun to experience and to walk in these things when it's based and solely solidified and rooted in relationship and intimacy with him. Man, it's awesome. You get to know and experience the Father for who he really is. All right. We got to get this. I know I'm kind of like hammering this thing, but this is where these things have to come from. Because you can prophesy, you can actually operate in these miracles, cast out demons, and actually not even know Jesus. It's crazy. To me, it's kind of like, how is that possible? But I think it's when the enemy comes in and he kind of like deceives us into thinking that like our worth is based on this, and like you're not a good Christian unless you're doing all these things. We get to do these things, and we get to know him through it. So Jesus was a perfect model of this. He knew that we needed it, so he would go and he would spend time with the Father. And I picture sometimes like when he would go minister to the masses, and then he would get alone. And a lot of times I asked the Lord, like, Lord, what were you doing? What were you seeing? What was your prayer life like that? And I almost kind of feel like during those times, like the Lord was giving him things for that day, what was going to take place. And prophetically, has anybody ever heard of William Branham? Yeah. He had a crazy healing ministry back in the 40s and 50s, I believe. And if you don't know the story about this guy, he was a pretty crazy dude. And he would actually, the Lord led him to this cave. Like, I don't know, on some property. I can't remember all the details now, but he would lead him to this cave. And it was like this little crevice inside this cave. And he would go there, and the Lord would speak to him in there for that day. And he would have visions, and he would, you know, talk with the Lord, and the Lord would show him things that he was going to do throughout that day. And then he would just go out, and he would just go and do it. And crazy miracles took place. He would go into hospitals, and I mean, it was crazy. So I encourage you guys, read up. It was a good picture of like what the Jesus model here, of seeing what the Father is doing and just doing it, right? Okay, so the other question is, what qualifies, you've got to, we all have to understand this. We have to be reminded of this. What qualifies us to hear and see what the Father is doing? You know, because a lot of times the enemy would come and he'll say this famous phrase, I know everybody in this room has heard it, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are that you can go heal these people? What about that time that you were yelling at your kids or you flipped off, this guy cut you off? Who do you think you are that because of the stuff that you did, you can now go heal people or that you can go prophesy to people? Anybody hear that? Everybody's heard that voice, because he knows that when you operate in your sonship and your daughtership, you bring damage to his kingdom. So he will try to just use words. He just uses words to get you off the path, right? So what qualifies you? Let's go back to the verse. What is verse 20 in 5:20? It says, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. So what qualified Jesus? He was the Son of God, but what qualified him? Was it his perfect, sinless nature that qualified him? What do you guys think? What connection? His love to us? There's something else in there. Can you guys see it? For the Father loves the Son. Sonship. Before Jesus even did any miracles, did anything crazy, did any kind of turning water into wine, he was baptized, and the Father gave him the Holy Spirit because he was his beloved Son. Right? In the same way, that's how we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because you're sons and daughters when you became born again. Not based on anything you ever did or didn't do. It's solely based on your identity of who you are, of who you were made when you were born again. You became a son and a daughter. So out of that, that qualifies you instantaneously to walk in the same level of intimacy with the Father and for the Father to show you what he's actually doing. You guys got to get this, because I'm telling you, I've been a Christian for a long time, and the enemy comes around all the time, probably every day, and tries to base walking in the life of the Spirit on my own performance, on what I did and didn't do, all the sins I've done or didn't, all the things I missed opportunities. Oh, God's not going to talk to you now because, you know, you sinned a bunch this last past week. You cussed out your coworker because, you know, he was making you mad. Whatever. You guys got, we've got to get this. I'll be honest. I'm going to preach this over and over again because we have to continually hear this. You are sons and daughters, and that qualifies you. Period. End of story. So, where are we at on time here? All right. So I want to lay this foundation. We got to get this because this is the foundation. We were talking about evangelism. We were talking about prophecy. All the gifts, all really the life of the Spirit is solely based in this. We are qualified because we are sons and daughters. Verse 20, the Father loves the Son. He shows him all that he's doing. 1 John 3:1 says, see the great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We have been born again as sons and daughters. You can't earn it. It is completely a gift and grace of God. So how practically do we see what the Father is doing? Let's get to the practical here, right? How do we see what the Father is doing? Look around. So I'm not picking on you. So you just go around and you just kind of like look around. See, I'm serious. I'm going to get to the, like, how do you do this? Because we talk a lot of theory in church. And we've got like a small handful of people who are actually walking in it. Right? Yeah, relationship. It's core, right? Ask. It is that easy. I'm telling you, it's that easy. We complicate it. The enemy complicates it. Ask, and it will be given to you. Believe that if you ask, that he's going to talk to you. Remember John 10:4, right? Over and out, good buddy. I hear you, 10:4. You are a sheep, you know his voice, period, because you're a son and a daughter. Nothing you've earned, nothing you've done, not enough hours you spent alone with Jesus in your quiet time, or how many times like you've been to a Morningstar conference. It's not what qualifies you. You're a son and a daughter, you know his voice, period. You got this? Okay. And trust me, this has like been proven to me over and over again. When Heather and I went to the School of Ministry in Morningstar, gosh, 2004 or something like that, we had people that were born again like last week in our class, out of jail. I mean, just like crazy stories. And there was this one dude who, because they were teaching us, you know, they were teaching us these same principles, these same truths. And there was this one dude who, like, him and his partner, they went to the mall, and they were praying for some guy in a wheelchair, and he got out of a wheelchair. He was, like, brand new believer. He didn't spend years soaking in the presence of God, and you know what I mean? Like, these ideas that we think, oh, I just got to... And I'll be honest, like, I remember when they first sent us out, I was kind of like, oh, man, I got to get in my apartment and just spend a couple hours soaking and praying and asking. And it was cool because, you know, the leadership, they knew like those tendencies for us to kind of think we got to earn it somehow. Oh, I got to get my hours in prayer time before I can walk in what God's called me to do. And really, so they would just send us out and we saw crazy things take place because we just asked, we just went out and they asked, God, what are you doing? Right. And, now don't get me wrong. We need to spend time with the Lord. Oh my gosh, we need. There's an awesome picture that anybody here like Joyce Meyer? You're kind of lover, hater, kind of. She's an awesome teacher, and she gave us one teaching about experiencing like or building her relationship with the Lord, and the Lord brought her. She had a friend who did kidney dialysis, and the Lord kind of like used that as like a metaphor of like. You need me. You need me like your friend needs to go every week and get her kidney dialysis going on. If you don't, you're going to die. You need, not physically die, but you're spiritually going to die. So we need to spend time with the Lord. Man, we need, not just we need, man, I want to know him more, you know? But that's not necessarily going to qualify you. We got to get those two things separated there, okay? Does that make sense? All right. So yeah, you ask, right? John 10:4, you know his voice. And we don't really have time to go through these scriptures or whatever, but you know, just to reassure you, just to build your faith up, you know, Matthew 7, 9, which of you, when you ask, if a son asks for bread, gives him a stone? You know, Jesus was trying to, he was trying to tell his disciples, hey, he's a good father. When you ask him for bread, for something good for you or for somebody else, he's going to give it to you, right? So how does he do it? He does it through, man, I encourage you guys to listen to the prophetic kind of series we did. Was that back in the fall? It really kind of, man, the prophetic is everything. Like, because prophetic is relationship 101. It's talking with God. It's like building your relationship with God. You know, you guys heard me say a lot of times, like, if you don't, your level of relationship is based on your level of communication. You know, prophetic is everything. The prophetic gifting, because it's like, you know God through it. I don't know how else to, like, you know, we think about it, it's like, anyways, we won't go there. But the prophetic is about hearing his voice. It's that still small voice. And I encourage you guys to listen to the podcast, but we go through each of these things, visions, impressions, pains in your body that you didn't previously have, dreams, all these things. When you're asking God, like, he's gonna talk to you back. He just is. So what do you do when he actually shows you what he's doing? Let's say you get an impression. What do you do? Let's say you're praying for somebody here at church, or you're praying for somebody out, you know, outside of the church, you're at work or whatever, and he shows you something. What do you do with it? How do you practically partner with God to do this? Anybody experienced this before? Well, yeah, I mean, it's really simple. You just do what you see him doing. You pray what you hear him praying. And believe that when you are stepping out, you're actually you're partnering with heaven, because you're operating it. You have to operate in faith when you step out and you do what you see him doing. Because it's going to take faith, sometimes more than times than others. But when you do that, you are partnering with the supernatural resources of heaven, and they're waiting on us to actually do that. You guys understand that? Now, I don't say that to like bring pressure or whatever, but they're actually waiting. I kind of picture, like, there's angels, like, on the sidelines, just kind of like, all right, so when's Paul going to, like, step out? And all right, he's stepping out. All right, let's go. You know, like, I mean, I literally picture we are partnering with the kingdom of heaven. We are partnering with a kingdom that is full of power, and it's full of, like, demon crushing, sickness crushing power to set captives free, because that's ultimately what he's doing, because we're revealing the heart of our good Father to the world around us when there's demonstration of the kingdom. We really are. And people come to know Jesus that way. It's just straight up. When you get to know that my Father's a good Father, I want to know him. Show me who this God is who's so good. You know? So, just kind of give you guys, like, examples of this. You know, I'm practicing this. I'm continuing, and I'm getting better at it. Lord, am I getting better at it? I'm trying to get better at it. I am getting better at it, because, like, it's just like anything else. It's like you keep practicing, you keep practicing. You guys know I use that analogy of, like, when Heather called me on the phone first, when we first were dating, I still had to be like, hello, who's this? And she's like, this is Heather. Who do you think this is? But now when she calls me, I don't have to do that, because over and over and over, after practicing, I know her voice, you know? And same as with this, we get better and better. God, I want to know your ways. I want to know how you do things. And you only can know how his ways is by walking in partnership with him, by walking with him. Okay. I remember one time I had a friend whose aunt was going in for heart surgery because she had, and I don't totally understand all the biology behind this, but she had, like, these nodes on her heart that needed to be removed. They were, you know, disrupting the function of her heart. And so we were like, okay, so we began to pray for her. And so I was doing this. I was just, like, asking. I was like, Father, okay, what are you doing? Because I want to partner with what you're doing, you know? And all of a sudden, this, and it was such a you know, sometimes we think God speaks to us in such a like, this angel came and he said, thus saith the Lord. But it was like this real, it's just a thought that just raced in my mind that I could have totally just brushed off, but I took hold of it and I listened, and it was like, you know, the doctors are going to check and there's going to be no nodes on our heart. They're not even going to have to do the surgery. I just got this thought. I mean, and I wasn't really thinking about it. I just asked, and that was the first thing that came. So that's what I did. I was like, okay, Lord, that's what you're doing. I'm going to pray it out over, you know, this lady here. So I just pray. I was like, Lord, thank you that when she goes in tomorrow, that the doctors are going to check and they're not going to see nodes on her heart. They're not going to have to do the surgery. In Jesus' name. That's all I did. I just prayed that. And everybody was just kind of like, okay, yeah. And I was kind of like, okay, all right, whatever. I know it might sound crazy, but I'm going to pray it because that's what I see you doing. And so I get like, you know, a call from the my friends whose aunt it was. And she's like, Paul, you would not believe what just happened. So they went in for surgery prep or whatever. They rechecked, you know, the heart. The nodes were gone. They didn't have to do surgery. I was just like, what? I was like, that was easy. What? You know? And it was huge. I mean, it really ministered the heart of the Father to that family. Like nothing. I could have preached 10 sermons to them, and that one touch, that one experience of the heart of the Father, it really transformed. She would always talk to me about, remember that time when we prayed and the Lord just like, he took the nodes away. I mean, it was like permanently imprinted on her heart that the Father is like this, that Jesus is good and he loves to heal, you know? And it wasn't complicated. I didn't really feel any power going out of me, or I didn't feel the presence of God on me. I just kind of this real faint like thought popped through my head after I asked and prayed it out, okay? And then, how much time we got? We got a bunch of these stories, but just encourage you, another like way that God speaks to you. I remember one time, me and my friend were in the mall. He went to the cell phone kiosk. He needed a new cell phone or whatever. And I'm just, you know, standing there like minding my own business. I think I might have been playing with my phone or something. I don't know. I wouldn't even pay attention to the Lord. Nothing. And all of a sudden my knee started like getting like this sharp pain went in my knee, and out of nowhere, you know, I was like I didn't hurt my knee or anything. I didn't, like, you know, maybe was I stepping on it wrong, you know, all this stuff that's kind of going through your head. And I was like, okay, no, okay, Lord, this is probably the Lord, because I had experienced this another years before this happening. And I've kind of recognized, okay, maybe this is God. I don't know if it's God. It could be God. Could be just like my leg. The enemy's going in my head saying, that's not, that you just stepped on something over there. Don't say anything. I'm telling you, this is the battle going on in my head. Don't say anything. You're making this stuff up. This is not real. And I've known by now, when I start hearing that voice, I'm like, oh, this must be real, because he's like getting on my case about this. He doesn't want to see his kingdom demolished right now, you know? So I'll be honest, I'm still nervous. It's like, hey, dude, I know it's kind of weird, but there's something going on with your knee or whatever. I mean, I didn't say anything. I'm a Christian. I got this word of knowledge. The Lord wants to heal your body right now. Receive it, brother. I didn't do any of that stuff, you know, like we kind of think we have to do this weird thing out in the world, you know. It's like, no, hey, man, is there something going on with your knee? And he's like, he just kind of looked at me, stopped talking to my friend messing with these cell phones or whatever. He wouldn't even give me a time of day. I was trying to talk to him before, and he just stopped and kind of turned to me and was like, huh? I was like, yeah, is there something going on with your knee? I was like, what, you know? And it's like, yeah, how did you know that? And I was like, and then I went into the spiel. I was like, well, brother, I hear from God. And no, I did not do that at all. Please don't do that when you're out ministering to people. My gosh, that is not the heart of the Father. I just said, hey, God loves you. And he talks to us. I'm a Christian. And, you know, Jesus, he showed me that something going on with your knee. He wants to heal it. And the guy was just like, what? Yeah, I was in, he just went into this story of like he was a baseball star or whatever in college. And he was playing second base. I can't believe I remember all these details now. But anyway, he was playing second base. And some guy like slid, you know, sliding into second base or whatever, you know, to get him out. And his cleat like went right into his knee. And like he had to have surgery. He took him out for baseball. He couldn't play baseball anymore. And I didn't notice the guy. I mean, the guy was standing there, so I didn't know if he was hobbling or limping or whatever, you know. So I was like, whoa. I was just surprised as, like, my friend. My friend was like, what? You know, and but my friend was a believer, and we were just like, well, hey, can we pray for it? I believe Jesus wants to heal it right now. And he's like, yeah, sure. So we just like, hey, can I put my hand on your knee? And he's like, sure, yeah. So I put my hand on my knee, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Knee, be healed. Brand new ligaments, tendons, whatever's going on here, be healed in Jesus' name. Something along those lines, you know. And nothing like, and I didn't necessarily feel anything. That's a funny thing, because sometimes you feel the power of God when you're praying for somebody, and like, you know, they're blasted by the power of God and they're healed. Sometimes you see them blasted by the power of God and they're not healed, and it's kind of like, what happened? I felt the power of God going, you know. And this time I didn't feel anything. And it was all right. I was like, okay, cool. All right, man. Well, I was like, hey, how's your knee feeling? How's it? I mean, he's like, well, it feels good. It's really, it felt fine, you know, before you were praying. It's just when I wake up in the morning, it's like really stiff. I can't really, it takes a while for it to get warmed up, you know? I was like, okay. All right, well, we'll stop by tomorrow and see how it's doing or whatever. And so me and my friend, we went back the next morning or next afternoon or whatever it was. And they, sure enough, he was there, and he's like, man, you would not believe what happened. Like, I got out of the bed this morning, and I ran. I went and ran for the first time in years. And we were just like, whoa, that's awesome. We were just like so grateful. But and we just felt like, and we began to talk to him about the Lord and about the gospel and, you know, about giving, you know, just sharing, because his heart was open at that point. He saw and experienced God's heart for him, and he was just open, and we just shared the gospel with him. And you know, amen. I was like, hey, you want to give your Lord? He's like, well, I'm gonna think about it, you know. I was like, man, think about it. I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, man, you just got healed, dude. I've been like, but it's all right. The Lord was like planting seeds, and like he was, you know, revealing his heart, because he loved that dude. He was in love with that guy, and he was reaching out to him through me and my friend, you know. And it was awesome for me, just probably as much as him, because I began to see, I experienced God's heart for people. And I just like, man, God, you are such a good father. Like, you're so good, you know? And thank you for the privilege of partnering with you to see your kingdom come. And it's a privilege. And, you know, that he trusts us, you know? That's pretty crazy. And so anyways, I'm saying all that to encourage you guys that, like, that, you know, you don't have to be Superman. You don't have to spend 10 hours a day in your quiet time to, like, see God move. He wants to partner with you today. And it's real simple, right? You just ask, right? And obviously, now sometimes, let's talk about this real quick. Like, sometimes I ask, I don't get anything. I'm just like, okay. And you know what I do? So I might not give like a now word for that person, but I'll pray what the written word says. And that is to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cleanse the leper, right? So I just, you know, so sometimes you're not going to get anything. And sometimes you just pray what the word of God says. You pray, be healed in Jesus' name, right? And sometimes that's all that's needed, you know? And is that encouraging you guys? Hopefully, yeah. So I encourage you guys, like, when you're out and about, you know, amongst ourselves, this is really safe and good place to practice this stuff, especially like home group. We do a lot of prayer ministry, home group. That's an awesome place to, a safe place to kind of step out and just start trying to do this stuff. Father, what are you doing? Oh, you're doing this? Okay. Partnering with you. I'm partnering with the resources and supernatural power of heaven to see your kingdom come in this person's life right here. And if you're already doing it, like, I encourage you guys to go out and to do it as well. You know, when you're out at work and you see your friend or something, Father, what are you doing right now? You don't necessarily even have to pray for the person. You might just see what he's doing, Father's doing, and you might say a word or, you know. But specifically with healing, if you see people sick, pray, ask, Father, what are you doing? I want to partner with you because I want to know you first off. First and foremost, I want to know you. I want to experientially know you. I want this person I'm praying with to experientially know you. I want to see your kingdom come. Okay? Does that make sense?